We shall turn again to the part of God's word that was read, and that is Isaiah chapter 7. We will read from verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings, and so on. Isaiah had given a message from the Lord to King Ahaz. And the message is that King Ahaz does not need to fear the northern kingdoms. He's afraid that Syria and Israel will attack. But though that may be so, they will try to invade, God assures him that they are that their threat is short-lived. As we read in verse 4, they are two smoking firebrands, and they will soon fizzle out or burn out and be no more. So this is God's message of hope to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. But does Ahaz receive this message? Does he believe what God tells him? Well, God knew that Ahaz would reject his offer of mercy and hope and safety. God knew that. God knew that Ahaz would reject it. He would not believe. And yet, God is still merciful. God is ready to give hope and encouragement to believe. So he offers Ahaz a sign. And that would be a reason, or at least confirmation to Ahaz, if he had faith to trust God. But as we see here, Ahaz refused the offer even of a sign. And yet, God, still being merciful, gives a sign anyway. And the sign was in the form of one of the most amazing prophecies in the whole Bible. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that means God with us. Well, we would like to learn very important lessons from this part of God's word, and so we begin with the Lord's help to consider first the refusal of encouragement. Ahaz refused encouragement. He refused to make use of a sign for the encouragement of faith. So that's the first thing to consider, the refusal of encouragement. And secondly, the promise of Messiah, the promise of the coming of Christ. And this was the sign that God gave to Ahaz and to the people of his time, the promise of the Messiah. And thirdly, the imminent deliverance. And we will look at that. The period of infancy was the duration of the trouble they would go through, and then they would experience deliverance from the two northern kingdoms. So we begin first with the refusal of encouragement. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying. So you see in this word, moreover, that the Lord continued to speak to Ahaz. And that, of course, is, we believe, God speaking to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah was still there by the end of the conduit of the upper pool, at the point where the water left the pool. And that is where Isaiah had boldly spoken to Ahaz and given to the king the reassurance that Syria and Israel would not pose a lasting threat to them. But it seems that already Ahaz is rejecting the assurance that God gives. Perhaps it was even seen on his face, a look of disappointment. He did not want to trust in God. He wasn't ready to receive the promise. He should have been overjoyed by God giving him the reassurance that Syria and Israel are not going to last very long as a danger to them, but instead he is unbelieving. He's not trusting in God. And so Isaiah tells him, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. And this, of course, it was a message for the whole court. If ye will not believe, there were other officials, no doubt, who were listening. And Isaiah tells them, if you all do not believe, then you will not be established. But especially the king, he had so much responsibility upon him to lead the people by example, and he should have been an example of faith, of trusting in God. And yet he was given over to unbelief in his own experience. And yet the Lord is ready to encourage faith. He's ready to help those who would believe. He is offering a sign to him. And the Lord is not abandoning him yet. He is merciful. So we read this word, Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz. And this is what God says to Ahaz, verse 11. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So a sign would be to encourage Ahaz to believe what God had promised. And it does not necessarily mean a miracle to be performed. The sign could consist of a prophecy to be given, the foretelling of a future event. And indeed, that is the sign that God gives to Ahaz afterwards. But for now, in this offer of asking for a sign, Ahaz has the option of asking something that can take place either in the sky above or in the earth below. Something like Joshua commanding the sun and moon to be still, and that would be in the heavens above, or something that might take place on earth, like the children of Israel being fed by the manna and the quails and provided for by the water that flowed from the rock, or as Elisha was instrumental in performing the miracle of the head of the axe resurfacing after it had sunk in the water. So these would be signs that could be performed either in the sky above or the earth below. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And notice that God speaks to him as the God of Ahaz. He says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Thy God. Even though Ahaz has left the Lord in unbelief and he is an idolater, yet God has not left him altogether. God is saying to him, the Lord thy God, he is still the God of Ahaz. Ahaz is a son of David. He's one of the kings that descended from David. And the fact is, of course, that Ahaz is forsaking the God of his fathers. But God is still reaching out to Ahaz. God is still willing to be his God. The Lord thy God, he says. But Ahaz is doing all he can, as it were, to bring doom upon his people through his lack of trust because of his unbelief. Ask a sign. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now, when God is telling Ahaz to ask a sign, he's not making a suggestion to him in regard to the thing itself. He's not giving Ahaz the option whether he can ask a sign or not ask a sign. The option is, indeed, whether it's in the sky above or the earth below. But to ask for a sign, God does not make a suggestion. He's not giving him an option. God is commanding Ahaz to ask for a sign. But he refused to ask. He says in verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. You see the audacity of this man, what defiance Ahaz has of God. He is defying God. I'm not going to ask a sign. God said, ask a sign. Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to do that. What boldness, what sinful boldness that is. And what is his excuse? How would he dare do that? Well, he claimed that he would not tempt the Lord. I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord, verse 12. And so he's claiming that he would not put God to the test, which is what that means. And he perhaps reflects upon Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, or perhaps he's heard other people quote this verse. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa. To tempt God is to put him to test. Will God do this or will he not? Trying God. And Ahaz is saying that he's not going to test God. And he presents himself as a man of integrity. He's careful. He's conscientious. He thinks about what he does before he does it. And he's not going to dare tempt God. But really, it was an excuse for his unbelief. It was an excuse for him to leave God and go seek help from Assyria. It is not tempting God just to be obedient to him. Ahaz is blatantly disobedient when he says, I will not ask. It's not tempting God to do what God commands. God commanded him to ask for a sign. You remember Hezekiah was willing to ask for a sign. And he was very ready to comply with the choice between two, where you remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Isaiah speaks to Hezekiah and tells him in verse 10, Hezekiah replies, it is in verse 9, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Hezekiah doesn't say, I'm not going to test the Lord. Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And so it was. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So Hezekiah was obedient. Hezekiah was trusting. But here is Ahaz, his father, who was not. He says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Really, he secretly was distrusting God, and he had already made up his mind, no doubt, to go to Assyria. So in that, he was rejecting the goodness of God, ready to reach out to Ahaz and offer hope and safety to him, but Ahaz says no. Is that ourselves? Are we rejecting the offer of mercy and hope in Christ? Are we identified with Ahaz in his unbelief and rejecting the mercy of God and the encouragement to believe? Well, the fact was Ahaz was wearying God. And so Isaiah says in verse 13, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Ahaz was wearying men probably by showing unwillingness to accept Isaiah as a prophet of God. That's how he was wearying a man or men. He seemed to have the attitude of who made Isaiah a prophet to show me how to rule my kingdom. And perhaps the sign was offered to Ahaz to confirm that Isaiah was a true prophet of God and that the word that he proclaimed was true. But now when a sign is offered to attest the message and the messenger, Ahaz refuses it. So not only did he show disrespect to Isaiah, now he is showing irreverence to God because the sign was from God. God was offering a sign to Ahaz, but Ahaz refuses. And even by pretending to show concern for God's honor, Ahaz was flatly disobeying God. He was turning down the encouragement that God was giving him, so he was wearying God, trying God's patience. He was testing the Lord after all. by refusing to believe in the promise and even rejecting the encouragements to believe in the promise. And so he says, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also?" Isaiah speaks to the house of David, and that includes Ahaz. Ahaz was a son of David, of royal lineage. God had promised to David that a king, as one of his descendants, would always be on the throne. And so here is Ahaz, a son of David. He's full of fear that Syria and Israel are going to dethrone him. And by refusing to believe God when he said that Syria and Israel will not succeed, he is doubting God's promise. As someone has said, a son of David is willing to reject the covenant. And yet, God is saying, "O house of David," he's still reaching out to Ahaz. And we may be in the visible church and in our hearts still unbelievers, but we're in the visible church by baptism. And God is still reaching out to us, calling upon us to believe, holding out hope for us in the overtures of the gospel, the offers of Christ. Still, he is reaching out to us. And sadly, we weary God by our sins. God does not literally get tired, but our behavior toward God is such that if it were toward a man, it would wear him out. And God will not tolerate our sins forever. He will at last deal with us either in punishment or chastisement. For his people, he will correct them, but for the unbeliever, at last, God will punish these in hell forever. Oh, that we would not weary God and try God and test him and tempt him and try his patience, as if, because by our sins it's as if his patience will wear out. Let us come to him. Let us seek him. Let us be encouraged to draw near to him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. And we have great hope to do so, great encouragement, that is, to do so. And the hope is set before us because of the sign that Isaiah does give, or God gives through Isaiah to the king. The Lord still shows mercy to Ahaz in that he himself gives a sign. And it's a sign of a greater deliverance than he could ever conceive of in this world. And it's the promise of the Messiah. So we consider, secondly, in the second place, the promise of the Messiah. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Therefore, that is, because Ahaz refused to ask a sign, the Lord himself will give a sign. And sadly, Ahaz refused the privilege of asking a sign. He had a choice. He could choose what kind of sign it will be, but now that privilege is taken from him. And so he is forced now to accept whatever sign the Lord gives. But what a glorious sign it is. It's that which calls our attention. Isaiah says, "Behold." It's as if he sees something now taking place in prophetic vision. What he sees is remarkable, and he calls attention to it. He says, "Behold, look, take notice of this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And perhaps the words can be in the present tense. A virgin conceives and bears a son, and calls his name Emmanuel. It's as if he's seeing this wonderful, remarkable event take place before his eyes. And here Isaiah declares the virgin birth of the Messiah. He announces the coming of Christ, and the mother of the child is a young, unmarried woman. The word is never used of a married woman. And the unmarried woman has a child. And yet, she's a good woman. She calls the name of the child Emmanuel. As she has not been with a man, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So this points to that miraculous birth of Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born of her, yet without sin. So, friends, this sign that is given points to the coming of Christ. Ahaz is a son of David, but he rejects the covenant. And the promised child is the Messiah himself, this son that is given, and he is the son of David. He is the most glorious son of David. He is more than just a son of David. He is the root and the offspring of David. So here is a sign given. And that is, Ahaz has nothing to fear from the northern kings because of ultimately the coming of Christ. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings with him the deliverance that embraces all other deliverances. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If Christ died for his people, he shall save his people from their sins." He will give them all that they need. He will provide all that they stand in need of. He will give safety to them from all their foes, because he has saved them from the greatest threat of all, and that is the punishment due to them for their sins. And he, being the King of Kings, has power to overthrow the kingdom of Satan and all worldly foes. Here is the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It is God with us. That is the sign. God is present with his people. The presence of God is the ground of encouragement, the real ground of encouragement. God is with his people. He is ready to defend them. And it is God manifest in the flesh. The Son that is born of the woman, the virgin, shall conceive and bear a son. The Son is God himself, the Son of God, who is God manifest in the flesh. And he is with his people now. Isaiah is saying God is with us. And because God was with his people, Isaiah can be bold and courageous in the presence of the king. And later on, Isaiah is encouraged in chapter 8 and verse 10. He's encouraged in the face of invading forces because he knows that God is with us. In verse 10, "Take counsel together," he speaks to the enemy, "and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us." That is our encouragement today. If God is present with us, then we need not be faint-hearted. We may stand strong because our strength is in the Lord. As Paul encourages us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So let us take encouragement, knowing that the Savior of sinners has come already. He was prophesied of. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Proof of the divine counsel and omniscience. And Christ has come. He is God manifest in the flesh. This is why God is with us, because Christ tabernacled among us in human nature, born of the woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that they might receive the adoption of sons, and they can draw near to God, because God is with them. Through Christ, in Christ, they can cry, "Abba, Father," because God has come near to us. In Christ, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, let us look to this one. Friends, Christ is offered to you freely. the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. It is said of him, he shall save his people from their sins. Christ came to suffer and die to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and everyone who believes in him will be forgiven. If you believe in him, then you will not be condemned. If you trust in him, your sins will be forgiven. You will be clothed in his righteousness, and he will be present with you forever and ever, God with us. So that is the prophecy. That was the sign that would be an encouragement to the people, because the deliverance that comes about through Christ would include all other deliverances. And though this prophecy was going to be fulfilled centuries later, it is still a sign to them at present. It has present effect for Ahaz and Judah. And that is what we consider, thirdly, the imminent deliverance. Looking at, finally, these two verses following. Verse 15 and 16, we read, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." So these words of the prophecy declare the time when Judah will be delivered from Syria and Israel. And that's very soon. It's not saying that when Christ comes, then Judah will be delivered, but even now, at this present time, and that is within the usual period of infancy, about 2 years, Judah will be saved. So in the infancy of the child in the prophecy, and that is Jesus Christ, the infancy of the child is the measure of the time of trouble before the deliverance comes. And so deliverance will come within the period of the infancy, and that is about 2 years. So this child that is to be born of the Virgin and called Emmanuel, this child, what does it say of him? Verse 15, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." Briefly, butter and honey are foods that may come of themselves apart from agriculture. So things that grow of themselves. A cow does not have to be nurtured. It can feed on the grass of itself, and honey can be collected from the bees that of themselves produce it. And so this symbolizes the period of trouble for Judah, that the people are sustained by food that comes, that grows of itself. As we read in verse 22, "And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land." They're not tilling the ground. They have to survive on things that grow of themselves. So butter and honey is a symbol of the trouble that Judah would go through for this short period of time. At the same time, butter and honey are the food of royalty. So perhaps this is emphasizing that the child to be born is the king, at least that his birth and infancy would be unique. And butter and honey would he eat until he knows to reject the evil and choose the good. So that's the way the word "that" can be translated. Butter and honey shall he eat that, or until he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So when the child is old enough to discern good and evil, and he refuses evil and chooses good, then the deliverance will take place, and the trouble will be over. Verse 16, "For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." That refers to Rezin and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. These two kings will be gone by that time. So how can this be said of Christ, that he would know to refuse the evil and choose the good? The Lord Jesus Christ was always perfectly holy and without sin, and yet even the faculties of his human nature developed. We read that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So this was the period of time, infancy, before maturity, That would be the measure of the time when finally God would save Judah from Syria and Israel. And before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The land that thou abhorrest, well, that was the northern territory. Ahaz was afraid of Israel and Syria, and especially the kings who ruled over them. He abhorred them. Isn't that what happens? People are often full of hatred to that which they are afraid of. And the more terrified they are of something, the more they hate that something or someone. Well, Ahaz was fearful, and he hated the enemy. But instead of giving in to fearful feelings and hateful emotions, he should have trusted in the Lord. God is assuring him that during the period of the infancy of a child, such as the child that Messiah is in the prophecy, during this period of 2 or 3 years, so 2 or 3 years from now, Syria and Israel would no longer have their two kings. And this took place. We can read of the destruction of these two kings in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9, and 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse 30. And so here is a lesson for us. Sometimes we think that a deliverance will come about a long time from now. That's the way it is sometimes. We have to wait a long time for the fulfillment of the promise. But then we may get so used to that and we're saying that everything is going to take a long time. We can't expect any good and any encouragement for a long, long time from now. But the Lord often does come to us to help us sooner than we think. Within 2 years, both Rezin and Pekah were going to be gone, God is saying to Ahaz. And so there's a set time, and it may be sooner than we realize, for God to deliver his church. When trouble is greatest, mercy is nearest. When the church is lowest, mercy and the salvation of the church is nearer and nearest. And so we are to be encouraged that the Lord will help his people, and he knows their needs, and he may rescue them and save them from their troubles quicker than they realize. But again, in closing, let us be warned about dismissing the encouragements that God gives us. God gives us encouragements in his word, in his providence. He holds out hope to us. And it is our unbelieving hearts that decline the offer. And we by our sinful nature and unbelief, reject the hope that is held out to us. We say it's too good to be true. Or it's not for me, or I can't expect that, or at least not yet. And we put from us God's mercy and encouragement to us. But we should never think that, never give in to unbelieving thoughts, and not be like Ahaz, who said, I will not ask a sign, and I will not tempt the Lord. God commands you to ask, and it shall be given. To ask mercy and help from God, and it shall be given. By unbelief, we bring greater troubles upon ourselves. And that's what verse 17 to the end is speaking about. Because Ahaz trusted in Assyria and not in God, the Lord was going to bring upon him and upon his people and upon his father's house days that have not been, days that have not come yet. And that is, Assyria would come, and then all these evil days culminate in the captivity in Babylon, the destruction of Israel or Judah as an independent nation. You see the awful detriment and danger of unbelief. So let us be warned about dismissing the encouragements and promises that God gives us in his word. Instead, we should believe. Pray that you would believe. And if you can't believe, then say to the Lord, Lord, I would believe. Help my unbelief. Go to the Lord with your unbelief. Go to the Lord for grace to believe. Go to the Lord for strength. And let God's people be encouraged. They can, like David, pray for a token. Show me a token for good. not a sign from heaven, not a voice from heaven, but strength. And if God strengthens our heart, that will be a sign enough for us. That's an evidence that God is kind to us. That's an evidence that he is near to us. When he encourages us and fulfills the promise, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord is near to his people, Emmanuel, God with us. And he tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us through all difficulties and all circumstances. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray and draw our hearts to thee, revealing thyself to us in thy word. Hallowed be thy name. Cause us to respond with gratitude to the encouragements of thy word, and help us to put our trust in thee. Lord, direct us and incline our hearts to thy ways, to remember thee and follow thee, and teach us thy statutes. Bless all thy truth to our souls, that we would believe it and obey it, that we would give thanks and pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 86 and verse 14. Psalm 86 from verse 14. O God, the proud against me rise, and violent men have met, that for my soul have sought, and thee before them have not set. But thou art full of pity, Lord, O God, most gracious, long-suffering, and in thy truth and mercy plenteous. O turn to me thy countenance, and mercy on me have. Thy servant strengthen, and the son of thine own handmaid save. Show me a sign for good, that they which do me hate may see, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, didst help and comfort me. Let us sing these four stanzas to God's praise. Psalm 86 from verse 14 to the end. O God, the proud against me rise, and violent men have met.